You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Will You Do for Jesus Heritage Singers of There? Just keeping us some company while we try and get our Dr. Catherine back on the line. Hello, Dr. Catherine. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. We can hear you. God is good. Thank the Lord. Welcome. I would like to welcome Dr. Catherine to our show here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media on Mid-Morning Empowerment. We're going to be talking about God's girls. And as I was telling our listeners, we were looking at how girls are encouraged to understand and embrace God's design for relationships as outlined in the Bible. This includes recognizing importance of mutual respect, love, and commitment within romantic relationships, as well as the significance of purity and holiness. So this is the conversation we're going to be having. I hope that we are clear on your side, Doctor.
Yes.
All right, great. Essentially, we're going to get straight into the conversation, seeing as we have sort of run out of time. I am so sorry for the technical issues, but I think we can get through this conversation. How can girls discern God's will and guidance in their dating and relationship decisions?
Thank you, Kirsten.
Oh, it's actually Gundo. So, you're joined by Gundo. Sorry, apologies. I'm standing in for Zanele Zam. No problem. I'm sorry. It's very confusing.
Sorry.
Yes. No. It's a lot. I apologize, but I'm here. I'm here with you.
All right. Thank you. So thank you so much. So girls can embrace God's design for dating, for relationships, by first of all understanding that marriage is God's design. Mm. And so it means that he has even given us principles, he has given us guidance. Mm. And it means that if we follow that guidance, then we will not go astray. Mm. And right from creation, we find that in Genesis, God ordained marriage and gave Adam Eve so that he would not be alone. So, and then there are principles for dating, which we can find in the Bible. First of all, it means that you understand God, you understand God's design yourself, and somebody you're going to date surely should have the same principles, the same understanding, the same belief in God.
Right.
Otherwise, that is the first step to, of course, not following God's design for dating, for relationships, and finally for marriage. Mm. If I'm going to date somebody who does not even believe in God, and I believe in God,
right,
already it means that our values will be different. I will have read in the Bible that I'm not supposed to have I'm not supposed to commit adultery or fornication before I marry this guy. But he doesn't believe in God, so to him it means nothing. Hmm. Already it means that I'll be stressed, and he will always want to. That our relationship, long before we get married, I'll be forced to do those things that I don't want to do. Hmm. So the first step is that I need to date somebody that knows God the way I know God, mm-hmm. the same belief. That mm-hmm. means a fellow Adventist would be the best. Mm-hmm. We understand the same principles about dating, about relationships, and that what we can do before we get married. And what we are supposed to do after we get married. I think it should start from there.
Right.
Who am I supposed to date?
So essentially, I think like something I've been taught growing up is that even within the church, you can find yourself being unequally yoked. How do you discern whether or not this is actually, even though they're Adventist, that this is the right relationship to have? Because as much as, yes, you might be from the same denomination, are we saying that, you know, some relationships that, or say now my beliefs are, you know, not particularly the same as a Sunday churchgoer or whatever, but I, my Christian level of understanding is on the same level. Would that not be a better match? Or is it important to keep it within the same denomination?
Thank you so much. Actually, having the same person from my same denomination to date makes it easier, but it's not a safeguard. It's not 100% guaranteed that that person is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, it's for me to discern that this one is SDA, but they haven't reached the same level of Christian maturity that I have reached.
Right.
So, yes, I should have pointed out that's not a 100% safeguard that if I date an SDA, then we'll have it all
under control.
Nicely laid down, we'll follow all the rules. No,
no.
Not at all. Not every SDA has reached the same level of Christian maturity. Not every SDA will obey all the Ten Commandments. So I was told a sad story where a girl, an SDA, was actually dating a pastor, a young pastor in SDA.
Pastor.
And she was devastated when he started that, you know, they should start going to bed. She couldn't believe it. She was so traumatized that, you are a pastor. I thought you were supposed to obey these commandments and so on. And that's how that relationship had to end. So, yes.
Okay.
Having the same denomination is not
safeguard.
A safeguard. It's not 100% guaranteed. But how can you know that this one is SDA and is also a Christian? It's possible to know only through prayer. That means even before I start dating, I should be prayerful.
Right.
Pray that I should meet somebody to date and later to marry who is not just an SDA, who is not just a Seventh-day Adventist Christian.
Right.
They are a Christian only on the Sabbath.
Right.
During the week, they can do anything they want.
Right.
But that calls for prayer. Then the Holy Spirit will surely lead me, guide me, or show me as we are dating that this one is not a Christian.
Right.
But obviously, when we are young, me inclusive, we don't have time. We don't take time to pray for God to show us who is the true SDA. We are in a hurry. We just think we love this person, and there'd be no other person in the world like them if we lose them. And so we go astray.
And then how then do we define those boundaries, you know, within dating relationships as women without... Okay, let's just start with that. How do we define boundaries or clear boundaries within a relationship?
Thank you so much. So as we are dating, it means we should set some rules, some boundaries, so that both of us understand why we're putting those boundaries, which are supposed to just protect us, safeguard us, because we are emotional beings. And then it's important also for ladies to know and understand that men are more emotional than ladies, meaning that if we are the two of us, just the two of us in a room, and I'm dressed in such a way that I am going to tempt him, a very short skirt, and they're just the two of us. He's an SDA, he's a Christian, but he is an emotional being. It means that he will be emotionally affected. So those boundaries, we set boundaries. And it might be vice versa. The man might have reached maturity, Christian maturity, than the lady. So we set boundaries. We will dress responsibly when we are together in order not to tempt each other, that we will not be where we are just the two of us. We are just the two of us for a long time. That is tempting ourselves. And we put rules that, you know, we will not, well, we can maybe embrace each other and so on. We put boundaries that we say, well, we'll not kiss each other until when we are about to get married. We put some rules to protect ourselves, to just safeguard ourselves because we are emotional beings, so that we can go through this courtship until when we are ready to get married, and then we can be so close to each other because then we are allowed. So it's important to set specific rules and boundaries. We shouldn't be where we are just the two of us alone. We will be tempted. Yes, we are Christians. Yes, we know God, but we are also emotional beings.
Okay.
And we don't need to tempt each other.
Just a question.
Yes.
You know, say now. Okay. It's not like one way, right? Specifically for everyone. So some people have certain weaknesses. Some people have weakness of the flesh. Some people have weakness of drugs or drinking or whatever the case may be. So we're saying when you get to court your partner, you understand their weaknesses and you avoid them during this boundary making phase. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, so you
because
you
for example
your partner and,
my question is in relation to the fact that you're saying you know, two people staying together or not even staying together in the same space alone, for some people that doesn't really move them or in any way.
Yes,
but for others it could. So it's basically trying to understand your partner, correct, and seeing where those weaknesses lie and trying to avoid them in those boundaries.
Yes, exactly. So once you understand your partner, you know that we can be alone for hours and hours,
right,
and nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Yes, okay. That's a good comment. It's not one way. So it's not one size fits all.
All right. All right.
There are other people who can be together hours and hours and nothing will happen.
Right.
They understand that we're not supposed to
do
anything at this stage. But then once you understand your friend, you can try to help them. You know that we cannot stay together even for 30 minutes and he will try to make advances.
True.
So you understand them and then you are trying to help them, to protect them. Instead of saying, you have this weakness, therefore I won't date you, I won't marry you. Just you're just cutting them without giving them a chance, giving them an opportunity. So it's to understand each other, yes, and then even try to help the other person overcome whatever weaknesses they may have as you are dating, you are courting.
All right, because we have very little time left with our conversation, I think we'll also just, you know, extend it a little bit, just by like 5 minutes, because I feel like we need to cover this conversation. But essentially, I wanted to more or less combine two questions here and say, how can girls maintain purity throughout dating? And I think you kind of covered that in what we were just discussing in terms of the boundaries. And but I think there's a lot more that we can add to that. And what are some of those practical ways to prioritize emotional and spiritual compatibility over that physical attraction to a person?
Yes. So like I said, yes, we are emotional beings, and of course we'll be attracted to the other person, but so it requires being intentional. That means you have decided with your partner that we want to maintain purity until when we reach the stage that we are now married. So it's intentional. It
right.
cannot come automatic. Mm. Intentionally, consciously, the two of you make that decision and you try and live up to it.
Right.
And of course, there'll always be one who might be stronger than the other, and that one helps the other person when they see that they're almost losing it. So it must be intentional. Say, we're going to be pure until we are married. It is possible, but it is difficult, but it can be done.
Right.
And people have done it with a lot of prayer, with a lot of help, helping one another.
I think also taking advice from the elders, you know, sometimes they do know.
Yes. Actually, I wanted to say our culture, there's some things that are not in conformity with the Bible, but a lot of things in our culture are very, very helpful. So it helps actually to follow our cultural norms and traditions regarding courtship. They're very good. They were protective and safeguarding both of the partners until they get married. Yes,
right.
I almost forgot that. Our culture, our tradition, it emphasizes that we maintain our purity and we only do certain things when we are married. So we should never, ever forget our culture, even when we are Bible-believing Christians or SDS.
Right.
There's a lot of good in our culture that can help us in our courtship and dating and help us to maintain our purity.
Right, right. And how can, you know, girls navigate that tension between desiring a romantic relationship and trusting God's timing? Because, I mean, sometimes you're just like, oh, I want a partner right now. How do you navigate that tension and, you know, trusting that, you know what, this is not the right time for you? God will give you the right time.
Yes, exactly. So there'll be... Yeah, there will be times when there'll be all that tension and stress, and it will be tempting to say, "Oh, but just one time, just one,
just the one guy."
But then, yeah, just one time, it won't hurt. But then, like I said, both of us need to work at it to help each other. When we feel that tension, then to remember that's when, you know, it means that on our own we can't do it as human beings. We need also to depend on God. We need to pray a lot with my partner, specifically asking God for strength that we'll be able to overcome all these tensions that will come, because we're human beings. They will come. We cannot pretend that they will never come because we are so prayerful. They will come.
In this circumstance,
but being intentional, praying specifically for that.
In this circumstance, say now it's you don't have a partner. You want one though, and you keep saying, you know, yeah, no, I feel like God is taking His sweet time to find me a man, and you just grab whatever's near you. How can we balance that? Like, how do we stop ourselves? Now, this is not us even in a relationship. We're just, you know, trying to understand why we want that companionship so much. How can we trust God's will first over that feeling?
Exactly. So for those, of course, that are single and not yet found somebody, our culture, again, there, it can be negative influence, because there's so much pressure. They're saying you're getting old, and after a certain age, a woman, you know, you won't be able to marry, maybe you won't be able to have children. So they push us against the wall.
You're right.
And also, yeah, of course, our society will do that. But then that's when we need actually to pray more and just trust in God. I have friends that have come back later to say, I wish I had just waited. I am not happy. Meaning that they said, well, my I'm getting old. And so they dated just anybody, not even a Christian, not even a fellow SDA. And they regretted because they just got pregnant. And of course, they wouldn't marry with that person. And they regretted. This other person went on to marry because they thought it was getting late, but they're not happy. So I think God has the best timing. God knows what is best for us. And sometimes we may find that we are over 40 and still no one has come along. And we just need to continue to depend on God. And that can be very challenging when time is going and we are not finding a partner. But we need to believe and trust in God that He is there. He was able to give a child to Sarai at an advanced age. If He means that I should have a child that after the biological age, surely you give me a child somehow by whatever means. But that can be difficult put into practice.
Right.
It is very, very difficult. It means we need to be prayerful and you need to engage with others because it gets very, very lonely. Your younger siblings are getting married and you're the oldest. It becomes a big challenge. You're lonely. You're depressed about this. But you need to have a circle of friends because there are a lot of other good, well-meaning girls that are Adventists or other denominations. They have, they're in your similar situation. Find them. You meet, you talk, you encourage one another. You go for outings. So don't stay alone because there are others similar in your similar situation. And together you'll be stronger and you'll be able to keep yourselves pure until the right time.
Well, in my family, they know that my brothers are the ones who are going to be giving the grandchildren first. I know I'm the eldest, but I cannot for the life of me see myself having a marriage or a child right now. I think I'm a little bit too, I don't know. I just want to travel, you know, I want to see the world. I want to do things. But like, as for right now, I'm okay. So yes, my parents will have to wait for my brothers to do something about that. But just, you know, giving some context to our listeners. Yes, we are in the secondary hour of the show. We're supposed to be in the music takeover, but we're just wrapping up our conversation here with Dr. Catherine, looking at God's girls and looking at the approaches of dating and relationships and coming to the final question that we have for Dr. Catherine right now. What is the role what role does self-worth and self-respect play in a girl's approach to dating and relationships?
Self-worth and self-respect plays a big, big role in a relationship because you are the one who holds the key for the two of you remaining pure until you are married. So if you respect yourself, your partner will know that she is disciplined and she truly, truly doesn't want us to get involved romantically before we are married. You understand that. So the key remains with you. But if you give in too easily, then remaining pure until you get married won't happen. So the woman holds the key for the success of a good Christian dating courtship experience until you get married. It plays a big, big role.
And to just query, I know I'm over time, but I just want to say, you said the woman holds the key, but I feel like that's always like the pressure that we put on women. What about the men? Okay, like, are we not supposed to just be doing something about how, because, I mean, you said something about, like, if you give it, you know, then they're like, okay, you know, this is not my marriage material. But a lot of people have gotten married that way, even within the church, you know, like, they have sex before marriage or whatever the case may be, and it still continues. So how can we, you know, properly okay, I think this brings us back to what you said about prayer. But how can we properly, like, you know, understand that, you know, this is a self-worth thing as opposed to a peer pressure or a partner pressure type thing? Like, how do we define the differences?
So, yes. So it's supposed to be both, actually, because it's supposed to be the responsibility of the of both people.
Right.
But you find that even those people who... A married man starts dating a lady. It's up to that lady to refuse to say no. You are married, Then you find that they most don't. And similarly, both have that responsibility. But then I think the bigger responsibility is on me, who is the lady, to make sure that we don't get involved romantically until we marry. I know in the SDA, it's so sad. There's so many couples, so many young people being romantically involved way before they even start dating. And then they will leave that one and they go on and marry another one like that. But I think we need to be talking about these things even in the church.
Right.
We need to be talking to the young people, starting from our homes, and then even in the church, when we are doing youth groups, those discussions. We need to talk about these real issues that affect these youth, because they are there and they are happening. We need to talk about them.
Right.
But we sort of shy away from these topics. And so, but then things are happening in the church. Mm. Yes, I agree with you. We have a lot of people that will have already been romantically involved before they are actually having the wedding when it's not supposed to be. But I think we need to be talking about these things from an early age.
Also talking about these men who are cheating on their wives. It's both the responsibility of the woman who's entering and the one who is cheating. Because, hey, this sometimes I feel like a lot of responsibility then falls on how this young woman dresses or whatever the case may be or how she represents herself. And I'm sorry, I have had so many situations where I am modest, I am okay, and still a married man would hit on me. So I think it has something to do about you also understanding the sanctity of marriage as a married man, okay? And holding that responsibility and knowing that it's not your time to look. That time is over. Long time ago.
Yes, yes.
And of course, yeah, then, of yeah. course, as
it's
you say.
Both.
Yes, and then, of course, as you say, then women, you know, also take responsibility as well. Unfortunately, Dr. Catherine, we have run out of time. So, I'm going to have to say goodbye. But if there are any final words that you'd like to wrap up with, it's essentially around this approach of dating and relationships, this would be the time.
Thank you so much. I just want to encourage, especially the young people out there. Yes, all of us are guilty. We have walked away from what the Bible principles say, and we haven't always taught our children, both boys and girls, what they're supposed to do. And so they get wrong information from everywhere, even when they're in the SDA church. And then they follow the worldly ways of dating and relationships.
Right.
But we can still ask God to forgive all of us, and we can start all over again. Mm. It is possible to date and have relationships within the guidance that we are given in the Bible.
Right, right. I think there's a lot, as you said, you know, this is a conversation that needs to be had a little bit more extensively, and also looking at both boys and girls, because I think it's a partnership in this mess, okay? We keep putting pressure on one partner, and the thing is, we all need to work. We all need to work over time to make this thing work, you know. And yeah, you know, love or romance it's a lot of work. It's not just about, you know, this beauty of what it. Hey, sometimes you have to stop your loins. Sometimes you have to, you know, pray harder than ever. You have to, you know, wait for the right partner. Maybe this one looks good, but he's not the guy. Maybe she looks great, but she's not the girl. We need to be able to, you know, discern these things. And I think with God's help, that's how we'll be able to get to that point. But thank you so much, Dr. Catherine.
So we need
us.
To use all the methods that we can. Joseph yeah. ran away.
Mm-hmm. You know, run. Let your clothes be torn and left behind. Shut the door. I don't know. Do what you must. But thank you so much, Dr. Catherine, for joining us. I really appreciate this conversation, and I hope that you have a lovely day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Dr. Catherine joining us on the line discussing dating and rather the approaches of dating and relationships, right? And that was a mouthful of a conversation. I think there's a lot more to be discussed over there. But as for right now, we are going to get into our music takeover, which is 10 minutes late because I think it was worth it, okay? I think that we got to get into that conversation a little bit more. But right now, I'd like you to send your song request through to 0734703520. That is 0734703520, and we'll be able to play your song requests here on IWR SID Media on Mid Morning Empowerment. As for right now, we're going straight into that music takeover. Thank you so much for staying tuned, and we will we'll get into our next conversation in just a bit.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.